So to begin to understand sort of the immigration consequences of convictions, you got to know what a conviction is. The INA has a very specific conviction. It is actually not the same conviction that is used in U.S. criminal law. And it definitely is not the conviction does not have the same meaning that it has under Texas law. And it is a two different definitions. One has to do having to be a formal judgment of guilt. And the other one is a two-part where there is a plea, an admission, and some court order punishment. The first one is very easy to identify. The second one may require a bit more analysis and an investigation into the documents themselves. So, what are some convictions or possible convictions? Deferred adjudication. If you practice state criminal law here in Texas, it's a conviction.
And
be aware that
if I'm not mistaken, the INA was changed
precisely
because of the Texas
yes.
definition.
Our good friend Lamar Smith, I think, yes. insisted on that definition.
Oh, who's now a moderate compared to
yeah,
me.
I know.
we've got sitting in Washington on our behalf.
But remember, what I have up there on the slide, deferred adjudication, that's unique to Texas law. If you're dealing with convictions from outside of Texas, you really have to learn the procedure in that state and understand what does it mean and where does it fall between those two definitions. Juvenile dispositions, never a conviction, but just because it's never a conviction doesn't mean it can't be used for discretionary purposes.
And be aware also if a juvenile if a juvenile case gets transferred to adult court, because then you could be in trouble. You could have a conviction if there's a transfer on the more serious juvenile crimes. Usually, only when there's like a death or sexual abuse.
Sexual abuse.
We see it a lot in sexual abuse cases.
Pretrial diversion agreements. You know, this is the one where you have to look very carefully at the document. If you have a client who has a pretrial diversion agreement, the first thing you want to do is, I want to see the document. You just want to see the document that they sign. And then you have to go back and look at the definition of the conviction. It's not a formal judgment. So did the person make an admission? Some of these pretrial agreements, they say the person accepts responsibility. Some of them say they admit to all of the elements. Some of them say, acknowledge the charges. So you have to make a informed judgment, the legal judgment yourself, whether that is the language used is an admission. The second thing is the imposition of a penalty or the limitation on the person's liberty. You know, they may be subject to reporting. They may be subject to paying a fine. They may be subject to something else. You know, they have to check in every 6 weeks or something like that. That could be enough to make it a conviction if there was an admission of facts. But even across Texas, the district attorney's offices, they operate pretrial diversion agreements very differently. Some in East Texas require the person to actually make an admission to the facts, stipulate to the evidence, essentially put their thumb with blood on the document, and it's signed by the judge. You know, if it's signed by a judge or the pretrial diversion agreement is being monitored by the county probation department, it's a conviction. That was the case of Matter of Muhammad. There are, if you look at Texas law, I know quite a bit about this because I did a habeas on it. So if you look at some of the pretrial diversion agreements, they're operated by the district attorney's office. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, even when the person makes an admission, and even when there is a restriction on the person's liberty, it is not a conviction because it's not imposed by a judge. It's the district attorney running it. It was very difficult to convince ICE about it. We went several rounds round, and then finally they came around to it.
But that's also why intervention by an immigration attorney very early in the case is critical, because if they come to you after that part of the case has already been finished, you have to go back and figure out what type of pretrial diversion it was. It's much better for you to be advising the criminal lawyer, if you're not the criminal lawyer yourself, to help work through those parts of the processes. A lot of times in small counties, it's a standard form. It's just their language. Every single one is the same. But if you have a county where they're willing to work with you, where you can go to the DA's office, even if you can go to the probation office, they might be willing to work with you on some language so that it turns out to be a document where your client, it's not a conviction for immigration purposes. So the earlier that you can intervene from the immigration consequences side of things, the better off your client is in the long run in terms of what the effects are going to be for, for the immigration proceedings.
Yeah. For example, Williamson County is very court-driven. The deferred, they call it deferred prosecution, but it's pretty much court-driven, and it's not almost. I tell people, I'm sorry to say, you're better off going to trial than accepting this pretrial diversion, because it's not really diverting you from anything immigration that counts for you for immigration.
Yeah, I think for our clients who are facing these issues,